peppermint bark. And because it's kind of crunchy, I ate the crown, I'm afraid. I did not find it. Just so you know, I did. And when I told Carrie I had lost it, she didn't say, "Oh, you poor dear." She said, "Do you know how much those things cost?" They know me at the dental office. It turns out this is the fifth time I had lost that particular crown. It probably needed to go. Anyhow, no cavities. That was the good thing. But I tell you this, let me just share a little of the conversation I had with them. So we're trying to maximize the finer points of insurance afterwards, because we're coming up on the end of the year, and you know, you want to work things out as best you can. And so somewhere in the whole context of discussing this, I have a very patient receptionist whom I called twice, and in the second phone call, I said to her, "You see, I don't want a crown. I want a tiara." Now, I'm not sure about the visual for that. Please don't go there. But fortunately, she laughed. Now, what does this have to do with anything? Just this. When I go back to the dentist, I don't know, it brings back memories. You know, as a kid, always having to go. And again, third time I had to go. I just had checkups. No cavities all year, so that's good. Just the crown. But my brother, also my oldest brother, was a dentist, now retired. And lots of memories about dental offices. And part of me wishes, like Paul, I could leave childish ways behind me, you know. But of course, Paul is talking about spiritual maturity. And this is where we can get confused, because Jesus said you have to become like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. But Paul talks about putting childish ways behind him. Peter says, "I had to give you milk and not solid food." So, how do you work all that out? Let's take a look in Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." So may we pray. Jesus, help us to go in. Help us to see it like you see it. Show us the way, we pray. In your name. So, which is it? You know, I put childish ways behind me? Or you have to be like a little child? Well, both, actually. Because they're both talking about the same thing, growing up in our faith so that the kingdom of God is what we look forward to most of all. Because there's something about children in this that Jesus dearly loves. And, you know, people are bringing children to Jesus. And we can learn from this. He's bringing them to him because that was a practice to bring a child to a rabbi, to have the rabbi place hands on them so that they would be blessed. And, you know, it's amazing to me, again, how the disciples are cranky about this. and I love the fact that Luke tells us that as well, because once again, he's not trying to make the disciples look good, right? He's just telling it like it is. And so Jesus looks at them basically, raising their eyebrows, and rebukes them. Stop that. I mean, it's just directly for just stop that. And then, I mean, the rebuke goes even deeper than that. It's not just, guys, cut this out. And I, so you're really my followers? Okay. I've got something for you to think about. Jesus is saying, let them come to me. Don't get in their way. Switch gears for just a moment. I love German fairy tales. Why? Because they appeal to my sense of humor. They are horrible. Most of them are just, as a matter of fact, one of my favorite books. I don't know. I've got a lot of favorite books. But I brought this before. Is Der Struhlpeter. This is a book of German fairy tales that we have in our home to scare children. does it work? I mean, this was intended to be funny, but how many German comedians have you ever seen in your life? You know, I mean, it's the stories in this book, it's so horrendous that Mark Twain loved it. Okay. And Mark Twain had a great sense of humor, but he translated this. So this is a book that has Mark Twain's translation in it, side by side. And there are things like, you know, telling a little girl not to play with matches, and here she is. This is from the 1800s. And she's in this kind of frilly 1800s dress, and the next thing you see, you know, her mother turns around, and she lights a match, and then the next thing... You know, she's in flames. It's horrible. And her cats are crying, you know. And then there's a little boy who would not stop sucking his thumb. And I think that one's my favorite. And by the way, have you ever saw the movie Edward Scissorhands? This looks like that, right? No, that looks like this. That's where the artwork came from. that's where the concept came from. So there's this boy who never cuts his fingernails and he never stops sucking his thumb. Oh, there's the girl with the cats. See? And then she's just a pile of ashes, and the cats are crying. Horrible stuff. And then here's another. Again, this one's my favorite. You got to wait for this one. This little boy, his mother is telling him, do not suck your thumb. Whatever you do, do not, you know, stop it. Because if you do, the tailor will come with his giant scissors and cut them off. Oh, yes. That is exactly what happens. Horrible stuff, right? But I love the way Twain translates it. while that lad, his tongue unfurled and fired a yell heard round the world. Anyhow, I tell you this because some people come to God like that. Some people have such horrible notions of God. Now, Scripture tells us it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So we need to honor him. We need to be deeply reverent. But at the same time, our faith is not a matter of do's and don'ts. It is a matter of grace over everything else, everything we have ever done. And if we only see it as a matter of do's and don'ts, and that's the challenge, because after you've walked with him for a while and been the recipient of grace, you can go down that road. I know, I've done it. And instead, what we need to recapture is something of the wonder of a child who has been forgiven, who has something to look forward to, and actually has forgotten the past. So, today, in other words, we need to crawl up into our Creator's lap sometimes and just be with him and just love him. Just like we sing, "Oh, come, let us adore him." Do you do that sometimes? Adore him. Adore him. Today, in the few moments we have left, we're going to have a bit of a crown checkup. You'll forgive the analogy, please. But our spiritual well-being, if we are to receive crowns, as Scripture says, three diagnostic questions. Here's the first. Looking at our crowns is how we're going to look about whether or not we're able to enter the kingdom of God. What is our crown based on? Are we his kids? First question, are we looking back or looking ahead? Practically speaking. Are we looking at the good old days and doing our best to hold on to them? Or are you starting kind of like the sun coming up? Is it starting to dawn on you the good of what's coming for you who love him and know him? That there are better things in store. Because that's what children do. Children are always looking forward. When was the last time you heard an 8-year-old say, "Oh, if only I hadn't done that when I was 6 years old." Or a 9-year-old, "When I was fine, when I was 5, life was so much better." they're always looking forward. What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be in the kingdom of God when you grow up? I love what George MacDonald wrote about this. "God alone can tell what delights it is possible to give to the pure in heart who shall one day behold him." Oh, what a good reminder to let go of this world and look to him and his way. Second question. How's your imagination? Stay with me on this. Is it filled with fear and worry? Is it giving way to trust that is grounded in love? That's what children do if they're loved. They learn to trust Sometimes it's not easy for them. But they do, and then sometimes they do it naturally and beautifully. I love Shel Silverstein's poem from his book, A Light in the Attic. Last night, as I lay sleeping here, some what-ifs crawled inside my ear and danced and partied all night long and sang their same old what-if song. What if I'm dumb in school? What if they close the swimming pool? What if I get beat up? What if there's poison in my cup? What if I start to cry? What if I get sick and die? What if I flunk that test? What if green hair grows on my chest? And it goes on from there, but you get the idea. In the last line, sum it up. Everything seems well, and then the nighttime what ifs strike again. It's an adult thing to live there. Right? All of us know that burning fever of worry, that waking up with a start in the middle of the night. But the question is there a fourth man in the fire who is with us? And we know that because he's been with us before. So that even in that moment when you awaken with worry, there's the realization, wait a minute, all will be well. Just because of him. I know him. He is with me. Somehow, even in this, I sense that. And if I don't, I'm still going to trust and I'm still going to have faith. A sanctified imagination is a powerful thing. And we want that. Sometimes our imaginations are so filled with just the way TV would have us think. It's good to get into the Word of God, where you hear about hills shouting and trees clapping their hands. It's good to read good books by authors like C.S. Lewis or George MacDonald that help our imaginations come alive again with holy things. So now we come to the third question. What do you look forward to most about the kingdom of heaven? I want you to take this one with you, please, and think about it. What do you look forward to most about the kingdom of heaven? As a pastor, I often have the blessing of being with people as they near the end of their lives. And sometimes I will walk with people in that place, right up to that place. And I'll never forget one woman several years ago who did. What she was looking forward to more than anything else was just being with her husband in heaven. Because she loved him that much, and there's nothing wrong with that. That kind of love is a gift. That's wonderful. Although I'm sure that some of you are saying, how could she? But again, as this went on over a period of years, I shared it with some of the elders, and we began to realize this is a little too much. There are other things that, when the kingdom of heaven comes to mind, should be first on her heart and mind. Right? I mean, as dear as those, and often that's how people respond, oh, I'm going to see my Aunt May, you know, or whoever else. But people were bringing their children to Jesus so that he could bless them. And the question is, has Jesus blessed you? Because if Jesus has blessed you, then you know a blessing unlike any other that this world could ever give. And as much as you love your dear ones, as much as they mean, as close to your heart as they are, absolutely, I'm not denigrating that in the least, but how much more? If you have been blessed by Jesus to know him, to know his love in the depth of your soul, to know his forgiveness, that is what calls you to heaven. That is what Paul is running for, right? I press on to the goal of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. And elsewhere, I know whom I have believed. It's all there. It's that he's the one that our souls are made for. And there's a tenderness of heart about this that goes deeper than any human relationship. And this is the mark of the eternal in us, where it's like, okay, you know, maybe my life is going to end, but, oh, I still have this and always will. And there is nothing better. There is nothing worth more. Little children are naturally loving. They express affection without caring what others think. My little granddaughter, Leilani, is a hugger, and I hope she never grows out of that. I love it. I love it when I haven't seen her for a bit, she just hangs on to me. And if her old grizzled grandpa feels that way, I've got to venture that is something of the work of a creator in me. Who loves us like that? Who loves it when you cling to him like that? It's not a matter of, well, I wish they were more mature. I have to feed them milk and not meat. Paul is dealing with other circumstances there, but the question of spiritual maturity comes down to dependence on God. It comes down to that place of you're worth more than anything else. I need you more than anything else. And again, I'll quote George MacDonald because I've been reading him a lot lately, but I love what he said about this. Obedience is the opener of eyes. If you want to see more of him, more of his spirit, more of the kingdom, then in your life you have to choose in those places where he's calling you to obedience. You have to choose. And as you make those choices, he will help you. Because again, it's not about legalism, it's about love. And loving him so much that you want to be with him and you don't want anything to get in the way of that relationship. And so you move forward in it. You stay close to the one who is the source of life, the creator of everything good, even our concept of it, and his beauty and fullness. One more quote from MacDonald, I'll make it three. In one of his novels, he shares about a man who is telling why he believes in Jesus. And he says, "All my difficulties and confusions have gone on clearing themselves up ever since I set out to walk in the Lord's way. My consciousness of life is threefold what it was, my perception of what is lovely around me and my delight in it threefold, my power of understanding things and of ordering my way threefold also. The same is true with my hope and my courage, my love to others, my power of forgiveness. It is just the old way, that of obedience. If you have any of the vaguest suspicion that the Jew Jesus, who professed to have come from God, was a better man, a different man than other men, one of your first duties must be to open your ears to his words and see whether they seem to you to be true. Then if they do, to obey them with your whole strength and might. This is the way of life, which will lead a man out of his miseries into life indeed." That quote is from the Marquis of Lassie, by the way. But the point is that there is no one like Jesus. There is no one like Jesus. And if we choose to trust him and walk with him by faith, to ask him to save us, if we choose to obey his teaching and spend time in them, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, right? You must become like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. He, the author of life, opens the door to new life and eternal life and eternal hope, and he is at the center of it. So again, to go back to the whole question of childlike faith, are you looking forward to him most of all? Your answer to that question matters. And if you can't answer it affirmatively, please talk with him about it. Please go to him directly with it. And if there's anything in the way, ask him to show you, and he will. Anyone, he said in verse 17, who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. It starts, it ends with him. Because when all is said and done, it's not about our crowns, is it? Not at all. I love the last words of the hymn, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee." Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee. Right? Who am I to wear a crown because of what you've done? Lost in wonder, love, and praise. May we pray. Jesus, you are deserving of all these things. Abba, Father, Holy Spirit. And it's hard for us to see it. We can't see it unless you help us to. But Lord, help us to be real with you now, so that we can be real with you then, to live fully into your kingdom.
Thank you for the beauty of what you promise us. Thank you that you call us not to try harder, but to just give ourselves up to you. Bless us, Lord. Help us to see this, to imagine it, to walk in obedience, and to look forward to you. Thank you for your cross and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.